everybody. It's good to see all these faces again this morning. And my heart's burdened for the ones that's not here today. So let's really pick them up, lift them up, pray for them, and let's get us all back together here so we can go back and all be together in one word, one accord here. As we read this morning, that we're going to Psalms 125 and 126. Before we read, let's talk to the author, shall we? Precious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day, Father, just to be alive and be able to come and gather around your word one more time, Lord, and to hear your word, Father. And I ask this morning that you feed our hungry souls, Lord. Just bring your word to us, Father, and just bring in that former and latter rain and let that spirit come in, Father, and quicken that word that we hear, Lord, that the promises of this book may be fulfilled in this time, that the bride of Jesus Christ may come forth. And Father, we again just touch and bless those that couldn't make it through the door this morning, whatever the hindrances are, and be with them. And Father, be with our children and brothers and sisters that's out in the world. Be with each one of them and speak to their hearts, Lord. And I ask, Father, that the ones that Brother Wade's got the names downstairs, Father, this our hearts are burdened for all of these, Lord, but we know it takes you to bring us in, Father, because we can't do it on our own. All we got to do is stand still and listen and wait on you, Father. And, Father, just give us the strength, Father, to walk and move forward in this. And, Father, bless those people out there in the world that's still fighting this thing of this virus. And because, Father, you did not give us a spirit of fear. You gave us a spirit of respect, Lord, but not of fear. And we can walk on past this thing. Your word says we can, have, and will. We ask this morning as we open your word, now you just come on the scene and quicken it to our hearts. Bless the service this morning. Bless Papa Dale as he's preparing to bring the word to us. And Father, let us all be awake and attentive that we can receive your word. We ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as a Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The mountains are round about Jerusalem. The Lord is round about the people, and henceforth, forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south.
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. You may be seated.
God is such an encouragement to each heart. Anytime, in the good times and bad times, we just put our faith in Him. Amen. Let's turn to page 28 in the Spiral Songbook, if you have it near you. I'm sure many of us already know this song. How many want every day to be filled with God's love in our life? Amen. Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with Your love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. last verse. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day. Touching Jesus is all that really matters, and your life will never be the same, for there is only one way to touch Him. Sing that first verse. Oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore.
There'll be no
sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Hallelujah. I shall see when he looked upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. This morning, and I thank God for the lighthouse. Oh, I owe, we owe our life to Him. Oh, King Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, for He has shown. Wasn't for that light, where would we all be? Amen. Let's all stand as we change the order of the service this morning. Amen. Are you expecting to hear from the Lord this morning? He's here to meet every need. We know that. It's just believing as we hear it. Amen. Accepting it as we hear it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him.
Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. So high and lifted.
See him, don't you? And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here. Let it be a time where we can all gather together, and still having to use a little different situations for seating purposes and different things, but yet it all works out and everything. We try to abide by their rules and regulations to keep everything in the correct order and all like that. But it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Remember all of these that are sick. And all this, Brother Howell, remember him, Brother Al, or Brother Dale, and these that are real bad parts, you know, remember that and just keep them constantly in your prayers. Because now, you know, the others are sick too, but some are sicker than others, you know, and that's the point that we need to pray heavily on is onto that thing. Okay. Remember Brother Aaron, is he back there? Downstairs, Brother Aaron will be ministering Wednesday, the Lord willing, so just remember that. We will be having a baptismal service after the evening service now, so we'll get through quick and go down and have a service. I was hoping a brother would come that has called me about getting baptized, and I told him what we were going to do today, so I hope he'll come, but so maybe he'll. Maybe he'll get here, but remember all of these. Any other announcements? We got everything's running good then, so we want to go to Genesis 1 and Genesis 3 and take our thought for today, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your grace, Lord, and thank you for everything. We know and realize in the day and the hour that we're living that, Lord, we have no hopes of anything whatsoever of this life or situation. It all rests in you. And we just depend upon you to make manifest your word and to do as you said you would, because we've depended on you so far, made it all these years, so we just keep depending on you. Just have your way now and guide us and be with each one. Remember the sick ones among us, Lord, those that are real serious sicknesses. Remember those cases. But remember all the others, Father, different situations and all, and we ask you to just be with each one. Have your way in the service today as we try to minister your words. You come and speak to our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to Genesis 1 and 1, and then we'll go to chapter 3. All right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right, now we're just going to start from there, then we'll go over to chapter 3, and we can start with verse 1. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman saith unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to be, make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, now coming on down to the 9th and 10th verse, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? We'll just stop there because that gets our point of what we're going to do. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I've done this in a series, and I'm trying, won't be doing it in a series. I'm going to just do a couple of messages. But I've done this back years ago in trying to help to understand, to me, you know, the name of God. Well, you say, well, what is the name of God? Well, the name of God is God. You know, now, God is not a name. It's a title to a name. It's not a name in being the word G-O-D as we take it and run it through. We say, well, that's no, because you can make a God out of anything. All right? You can make a God out of a piano or whatever you want to do, every different thing, and it won't come out right. But now, if you'll take it correctly, that's the marvelous point. If you'll study the Bible from just a simple little illustration, you know, I believe it will help you to understand. If you'll read the Bible and notice that what you're saying, all right? We read here in Genesis 1, and it says, and God, G-O-D, all right? That's in a, what you call, if I get these wrong, you put it in the right place and all. But that's more of a lowercase form because even though the G is in okay, but the E-O and the D is in a smaller case, so it's a lowercase. So even when you start off in Genesis, you start off with the basis of having to depend upon the rest of the word to be able to come out to understand what's taking place. Because it's about 30-something times there in Genesis 1 that it uses the word God. All right? And that word God now is the word Elohim. Okay? Which means self-existing. Okay? All right? So now that's what we're doing is trying to put it into a point to understand and to get it in the right order, and even the children should be able to understand, you know, the things of looking at the Bible because, you know, we talk about it. We say, well, God is not a name. Well, see, they're taught and they'll say God, the name of God or something like that. But that, you know, to us, we understand that that's meaning that that was the way they done it when they wrote the Bible. And they just wrote the word G-O-D. All right. Whether you would have had that in a total uppercase, as we'd call it, with a G-O and a big D on the end of it, or big letters or whatever, you know, it all will come out to the same meaning because the Jehovah the Old is the Jesus of the New. Amen. There's just one God. Amen. All right? Now, so then you start and you're looking at it and you say, well, now, what is the name of God? You know, all right? So now, children, we say what? God is not a name. Daddy's not a name. Father's not a name. You know, those are titles to a name. All right? So there in Genesis 1, you have a seemingly God help me with it, because I'm trying to just break it down instead of having a long series. I remember this from years ago that I talked on this, and I'm putting it into a point that I hope you will understand and listen to my point now to you adults and understanding of what I'm saying. Where we ended in our message dealing with, and they without us cannot be made perfect, et cetera, et cetera. We wound up coming down to the Godhead as being not complete without you and me. Right? You remember that's what the prophet said. Said it's not complete without you and me. The Godhead, why? Because you're part of God. All right? So then when you come down to that basis, it'll come to the point of understanding how beautiful it was back there and what happened in Genesis in God writing the word. All right? Now, and you put him in there and writing the word, and he wrote all of the things, but then it's so odd that once he spoke of the creation, brought it out about the creation, you know, the Genesis and the account of all the things, and we say, well, God created all things. All right? Now, so that word there is Elohim, instead of using the word God. So you can read it like this. In the beginning was Elohim. Elohim was with Elohim, and Elohim was Elohim. Going over to John 1, see, and bring it back to Genesis 1. All right? And thinking about, it'll clear up in a minute now what I'm trying to do. All right? But did you notice now we read in Genesis 3, you just got through with the creation of mankind, everything, and then you jump to Genesis 3, and look what it says. Look what happens in Genesis 3, if they'll pull that one up. Go ahead and pull up Genesis 3. You'll notice that it uses an outstanding thing to statement. It talks about the serpent, talks about the things, and it says in the field that the Lord God had made. All right. Now then it keeps continuing on, talking. It gets up to about to the tree, gets up to talking about serpent and all of the different things. And it's using the Lord God in understanding. And you've moved two chapters in your Bible, and now it's got Lord God. You say, well, what does that mean to us? All right. See, when they were translating the Bible, translators are supposed to translate by words. I say supposed to because naturally some of their thoughts is going to enter. But they're not supposed to be translating by revelation. And when they was bringing down the Bible to us, especially toward the English understanding, you know, and bringing it down to that, then you see that something happened here. And they use Lord God. And it stays in that form throughout the whole Old Testament basis to use the word Lord God. All right? And see, that means something has happened to the understanding of the person who was to put down what was going on. And in Genesis 1, it can be easily understood that that's Elohim. All right? That was the only way they could come up with anything, because the Elohim would have within it the all of the understanding about the name of God. Uh-huh. Brother Branham says you can literally translate there in Genesis and say, like I said, in the beginning, Elohim created, right? Because that's who it's talking about. But now, Elohim then still itself now is coming forth as a title because it's not a full meaning of a name. It's more of a title to a name, all right? And see, that's why it's changing from Genesis 1 and using it 30-something times and then you get to Genesis 2, it uses it, and then you get to Genesis 3, and then you got it from then on throughout the Bible that it'll use, and it'll say Lord God. All right, if you'll go back, if you want to, you can pick up from Scofield. Gives you a good understanding because he's a theologian, and read his point there. And Brother Branham says, let's see, where is that? You know, get number three, so that we'll know that Brother Branham has tied this together. Just bring in number three. This is taken from Be Not Afraid. All right. Someone said to me not long ago, said, Brother Branham, you don't believe that that was actually God standing there eating a calf. I said, I sure do. Abraham called him Elohim. See, now Abraham called him Elohim. Right. Anyone knows that that's capital L-O-R-D? Me and Richard was talking about that yesterday, that Jeffersonville didn't pick that up. That should have been capital letters over there, you know, because Brother Brown said capital L-O-R-D. All right, that's all right. But see, translated into the Greek, Elohim, which means a self-existing one. All right? Now, the word Lord comes from the word Jehovah. Okay? So now you've got a beautiful situation to coming into Genesis 2, 3, going on, that when it uses Lord God, it's Jehovah Elohim. All right, now what's the point? What is Jehovah? See, Elohim means self-existing, et cetera. All of the things, all of the titles will tie together to Elohim and come out to be the correct understanding of the name of God, even when we get to the name Jesus. Okay? All right? Because don't worry about it. You can take the name Jesus and run it backwards, and you can run it all the way, and it'll come totally out into the Old Testament and come to the word Joshua. Comes out to be the name of, translated from there down to get to Jesus, okay? Now, but listen to what I'm talking about. See, now you've got Lord God. Your Elohim is fine because you've got that understanding, okay? And all the titles will be related to to Elohim. And it comes from Jehovah. Now, you know yourself, there's seven compound names of Jehovah, right? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tishkenu, Jehovah Shalom. All of those comes from the name Jehovah. All right? Now, Jehovah translated into English understanding is like a father with his family. Now, that's what your Jehovah stands for. Or comes to the point of understanding, it's like a father with a family. All right? So he's Jehovah Elohim. He is the self-existing Almighty God that lowered himself down toward the human race, begin to the writing of the Bible, and when it does, immediately the understanding that is brought into that, the writers pick that up and they say, wait a minute, this word God here is okay here, but now we've got another word. Now, I don't know what those words are because I'm not a Greek. You know, I just have to stay with what we can do with the English language, and that's bad enough. All right. But you follow what I'm saying? So you can say, well, okay, Elohim, we can use that as the word God. So we can reference throughout the Bible and use Elohim. You can come over to Hebrews 1. God in sundry times and diverse manners spoke to the fathers. You know, in the New Testament, you're coming up still with the word God, using it as Elohim. The self-existing one. All right? But remember what self-existing means. Existing by yourself. So had he stayed with just the word that they used to bring out Elohim, see, you and I wouldn't have never come into being. Nothing would have come into being. Are you with me? You see why that it just takes months for me to try to break down a thought for you to see, but we'll try to do it real fast. All right? But you get the point out. See, Elohim has all the relationship to everything that you want to talk about. And Brother Brown says, now then he brings it up a notch to Jehovah, and he says Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new. All right? Now, what is Jehovah's a saying? Means a father with his family. So now what have you got? Jehovah Elohim, which means the eternal God, now exists with his creation, and that's exactly what he done in Genesis 1. God himself, the great Elohim, the self-existing God, lowered himself to start the writing of the Bible. All right? And it writes, and he comes over, and he covers all the whole creation. Okay? Then when you jump over to chapter 2, 3, you start picking up another name in there. And they said the writers had to give an understanding. So they brought it down to, as I said, Jehovah Elohim. All right? Now you can take it to Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tishkenu. You can take that word Jehovah. And it'll run to the seven compound names of Jehovah. And when you're coming through the Old Testament, see, you say, well, Jehovah is his name. No, Jehovah's not a name. You say, well, you're confusing us. God's not a name. Then we get Elohim. That's not a name. Now we get Jehovah, and that's not a name. See? Because there's one scripture, Isaiah, I guess. I forgot to bring, but if you're ever talking to a Jehovah Witness and they tell you the name of Jehovah was Jehovah, you know, the name of God was Jehovah, just tell them. The Bible says, by my name Jehovah was I never known. Amen. That's scripture. It's in Isaiah, I think. By my name Jehovah was I never known. See, he was never known as Jehovah. Jehovah is not the name of God. Jehovah is a title to a name. Elohim is a title to a name. Yahweh, get into all of those things that people pick up and bring forth, and it has meanings to it. What the meaning is you've got a little understanding here that defines this person that you're describing. You're describing him as Elohim, self-existing. That's good. But now you got him self-existing. If it's self-existing is correct, that means nobody didn't exist with him. Right? So now you got a problem. You're all left by yourself. All right? So the understanding from Genesis 1 brings you to understand that Elohim and who he is. Genesis 2, 3, then it starts over, and what it does, it brings out to understand Jehovah, our Lord God. All right? Now, I want you to notice something so that you'll keep it. So pull up number 1, brothers. All right? Now, I'm using to those on the Internet and everything, I use a Scofield Bible. Mine is a 1909 because I always have used the 1909. That's the earliest Scofield or any of them's got. You can't go now and buy a 1611 Bible. I don't know of anywhere you can order one from. You can't order it. I tried to order a 1611 from Scofield's publishing part, you know, getting down to where they, the publisher. You can't do it. All right. But look. In the beginning, G-O-D. All right. Now, that has the meaning of self-existing. But it's still not his name. All right. God unveils further into starting in Genesis 2 and 3. And when he does, he uses the word Lord God. The translators knew something was being said. This is a description. See, when you say God created the heavens and the earth, all right, who's God? Is it my piano? No. Is it my car? No. It's self-existing. That's as best as you can do. That's the best meaning of a word can be brought outside of the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is his name, right? If I don't get there to that point, then you just remember it. We'll get back to it next week. Jesus is his name. What's the name of God? Jesus.
Amen.
It's not Jehovah. It's not Elohim. It's not all that. All of those titles and references comes to the name of Jesus. Right? Because that's his name. All right, but look what it says. These are the generations of the heavens or the earth when they were created. He created it. God created, Genesis 1. Genesis 2 says the Lord God created. Are you listening? See, that means that something was interrelated here more than what was up here in Genesis 1. Now you've got something to understand with, and you come up with the word Jehovah. Now you've got Jehovah Elohim. Because remember, Genesis 1 brings up the creation of man. The creation of everything, right? Come on. The creation of everything is covered in Genesis 1, even to the creation of man, even to his physical creation and his spiritual creation, made in the image of Almighty God, right? That's in Genesis 1, because that's the self-existing. Because once he moved and they picked this word up and said, well, we got to put this word Lord in here, and when the translators looked at that, they said, well, wait a minute. We've got to get an understanding. So they said, now what can we do with Lord? So they come up with the Jehovah. All right. Now you got Jehovah Elohim, which means you've got a father with his family. And his family's in Genesis 1. Come on. We're supposed to be in the message enough to understand. You've heard Wade preach for a whole lot of years. I hope you understood that. Of Genesis 1, 26 and 27, you know, let us make man in our own image and let them have dominion, et cetera, et cetera. See, you're standing in Genesis 2 looking backward. But you're picking up, and when they brought it into there, a word appears, and I said, I don't know how to express these things, I just try to get you to look at something. But see, they wind up and they say, okay, now we've got it. Elohim is not a name. Jehovah means father with his family. That's getting a whole lot closer to a name. But Jehovah's not a name. Jehovah is like Elohim. It's a title to a name. That's why your Jehovah Witness say, well, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. I told one of them one time, I said, I'm a greater Jehovah Witness than you are. He looked at me and he said, you are? I said, yeah, because I believe the Jehovah the old, Jesus of the new. And he did. One of them started to the car. The other one wanted to talk. And the one in the car kept saying, come on. Because he done run into something that was crazy to him. For somebody to say Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new. You know. I guess he figured I might as well get out of here. But there's this simple point of what I want you to look at. How can you fathom, I guess is the best word for it, how can you fathom the name of God? How can you understand the name of God? Huh? See, you've got to come to that word they used and translated the word Jesus. You've got to come to that to be able to have one true and living God. Now get what I'm saying. Did the prophet say Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new? He said it's the self-same person. He said there's not another person involved. See, so when you take Elohim and put Jehovah with it, that's not another person. That's what I'm getting you to see. Elohim, Genesis 1, created. Genesis 2 says Lord God created. 2 and 3 both use Lord God, and it uses about the creation. All right? So then you're looking at something that is understood by revelation to see, and we've got the prophet to back up what we're talking about to understand. And he says now that word Elohim is capital, L-O-R-D. Okay. G-O-D, when it starts in Genesis, is not used in a capital form. Now, I've bunged this and hollered, and we went through it last night, me and Richard did, and we had it all going to a way and on, and then we lost our way, and I didn't have my notes to go back to. I got them, but I couldn't ever find them. I couldn't find them. But anyhow, we went back to find up something that was a marvelous thing. See, when you use the G-O-D, that's a lowercase. But what if I can show you that the Bible uses G-O-D in total capital? All right, you're going to have to agree that just one true and living God. If you think this ain't into the Godhead, you want to talk, well, we'll talk about the Godhead. This is getting into the Godhead. This is what I love. This is what I love to talk about. And to show how he come down to where we are. For us to understand. Do you realize he had to do that? He had to condescend the self-existing one that existed before the world. He condescends to be Jehovah Elohim, a father with his family. Then you can wind up see that Jesus is his name when we get. But see, look at it. Look what they do in Genesis 2 now. They know they still got this Elohim. The translator, see, knew they had the word God that was the word God from Genesis 1. So they know to keep that. But they pick up Lord, and that's L-O-R-D, capital letter. All right? See, because you're getting closer to the name. I have to use it that way because it's only I don't have no education. See, I'm sorry, I'm ninth grade, and I can't help that. But I'm just do the best I can to try to speak by revelation. And I keep referencing back to what the prophet said because that's where I got it from. I didn't have enough sense to get the rest of them, neither did the scholars. The scholars got enough. Now, the scholars know. You study them. Study Scofield. He'll tell you a whole list of lines about Yahweh and Adonai, and he's got many, many, many things. He covers the seven compound names of Jehovah. Scofield covers them. If you want to study it from just looking at what he's saying. All right. But see, you're trying to come down to an understanding. Okay? So you've got Lord, capital Lord. All right? You pick it up and you keep that capital Lord. I don't have time to do it. I got a lot of the notes laying in there. But you pick that up and you keep that Lord God. Now, I want to give you a key, if you'll just take it and listen. When God is speaking from heaven, are you with me now? When God is speaking from heaven. Now, if you don't believe me, you go read your Bible. Go over there and read where God come down and talked even to Cain. Where God come down and talked to Abel. And God came down and talked to Abraham. If you'll look at that word, L-O-R-D, you'll find it appearing in your Bible form all the way through as showing you God is speaking to mankind. God is revealing himself. Maybe I better use a word like that instead of speaking to man, because speaking is hard to understand. But I'm just giving you that even Cain, in the bad situation he was, he never came down. He came down and still was signifying toward the Cain that Cain, now listen, this is going to go, I'm just putting this in. But you know yourself, a lot of the people in the message believe Cain couldn't be saved. Now, I differ with that. I differ with that because of all the whole Bible and the prophet's message. All right? The Bible says, he said to Cain, he said, if you would have done like your brother. Who was talking? Who was talking to Cain? Almighty God, Jehovah. Because at that time, until Cain done what he done, Cain was still a child of God. Right? Because we're all children of God. Don't try to get no serpent seed lines in these things with me. That won't work. We're all the children of God. Cain was just as much a child of God as Abel as far as the physical human element. The difference is when he showed his color and he went and killed his brother. Right? But get what I'm talking about. Look at that word Lord and keep that as you study your Bible. How many remembers this? How many remembers the first time you got into the name of Jesus? You ever remember that when you started in the message? You know, how that you knew that the name of Jesus and water baptism, etc. And every time you looked in the Bible and you turned it, it said something about the name. Right? You remember that? And every time you turned, it was something about the name. I mean, you'd be over here in the Old Testament and they say something about the name. You come over here and they say something about the name. My way of illustrating is a crazy one. But you go buy you a purple Cadillac. And you go driving down the road thinking, I got the only one. I got this one special. I got the only purple Cadillac. About that time, beep, beep, the guy goes by and there goes another purple Cadillac. Right? That's the way God is. He deals with all of us the same. Don't worry about whether you're serpent seed or not. I don't care. If I could run my lineage totally back and put it straight there with the beast, I wouldn't have anything to do with it because my salvation is not based in that. My salvation is based in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done for me. You understand? What you see? So you got Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. You got the bold case signifying who this is, the person. Huh? Now remember, Lord God. Now what did we have? Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Flash it back where they'll make sure it stays in your memory. Because if you don't, you'll lose it. You'll say, so you see what I'm talking about. Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. Of showcase using that lowercase because he has a reason. I'll get to that in a minute. Okay? But see, it's Lord God. So it appears throughout the Old Testament as Lord God. David, it speaks when it comes to him and the Psalms and the different things. It uses Lord God. Jehovah Elohim. But now let's throw a little key in. A lot of people would call it a cogwheel, but I call them a key. Go to Genesis, go to number four. Right. Go to number four. Now, watch some things appear. And remember, when you come up to something and when they had to put a name or thought or whatever, they had to have it related to the entire Bible. So I look at... No, excuse me, we need to... that's okay. We use number four. Yeah, which jumps all the way over to Abraham or Abram. And look what it says. And Abram said, Lord God, He drops to a lowercase, but he raises to a higher case to signify that he knew what he was talking about. He knew who he was talking to. You remember in Psalms where it said, the Lord said unto my Lord? Look that up. You'll find Lord in great big capital. Said unto my Lord, the lowercase. You come to Abraham, you come to understanding now. This is just not a father with a family. This is a revelation of Almighty God. And it comes down to a capital letter all the way. So, and if you understand Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new, if you understand that, then that's exactly what it's doing. But look what it said, the Lord. Abram said, Lord. Now, Abram said that himself because, see, he was signifying something. He knew who he was talking to. Right? This is when he gets on over. You remember you were supposed to have been in all of that with Wade and study. Okay? Go on down to verse 6. And we'll save reading. And he believed in the Lord. And a while ago he had Lord in his lowercase. Same scripture. Now you got it back. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, now, who's talking now? And he said unto him, God speaking to Abraham, look, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Did you notice something? Over here you had Lord, God. Now you got Lord in front, in the lower case. But you get God in a higher case. Uppercase, whatever your English majors are. You just put all of it in order and get to point. But you notice that there in Genesis, it can go backwards and forth. Okay, go ahead to number 6. Quote number 6. Which is taken from Genesis 28:20. He that is our God, lowercase, is the God, lowercase, of salvation unto God, uppercase, the Lord belong the issues from death. Spell it the same way, right in one sentence. Lowercase, uppercase. Because now here's where we're going to have to take, and we'll try to do this real quick. You see, when the key is one thing, when you realize that Genesis 1, God had condescended to write the word. Right? God himself had condescended to write the word. As long as you're dealing with God that way, you can use that word God, and this is fine. You can put it in capital or you can put it in lowercase because it means the same. The self-existing one is talking to you. But it's like it is with Cain or with Abel or whatever. It says the Lord. Even speaking to Cain. The Lord said to Cain. He had not thrown him away. Right, right. He was still his child until sin entered the picture. But when sin entered the picture with Cain, then he fell away from sonship. Right? See, as long as God is speaking to you and I, he can speak through somebody, a minister, or to one another, a sister to a sister, a brother, you know, whatever. And you can talk about the Lord, and God can use your voice to declare his understanding to Kathy from Ray, right? But it can also switch and go from Ray to Kathy. See, we want it that way. We want the man first. No, it's not necessarily. That's what I'm getting at. Because you'll get on over into there and you'll have Sarah. Go through your Bible and read it. You'll have Sarah and you'll have Hagar. And see, we throw Hagar out the door, right? We just say that that Hagar was... Remember, God provided her and that child water. And put them right back into lineage. And that lineage stayed there after then. Right back in with Sarah, Hagar, Ishmael, Isaac, playing together. Maybe older than the other one. Get what I'm saying? You say, well, I talked to the Lord this morning. Well, that's good. But you see, if Donnie is my Lord, see, you go back, you got to pick this up and get the point. If you want it, I got it at home. I've got an original 1611 King James, 1611 version, King James, yeah. It has all of the books in it that was rejected out of the Book of Maccabees. There's two books. You got two Edens. You got different things that was left out of the King James Version of the Bible. Now remember, the King James Version, let's get a little sensible about it, but you laugh at my carnality. The King James Version is not American English. It was King's English. Thous and theirs and thous and whats and all of the things. And you can't even hardly read it. I'll be glad to loan you mine. You can sit down and read it. It's in the old English language. It's not into American English. That was translated later or put on over into what we call this common English. That's why, have you ever heard Brother Branham say, who is he talking about? But he said the writer, the one that he liked, he put out the Bible. Anyhow, that man said the Bible was written in Aramaic, a low Yiddish, common, ordinary people's understanding. Right? See, if we'll take the Bible and think about it, if you're listening, the Bible is put into our language from the King James Version of the point of the old English language that they used. Does that make sense, or does that bung-fuzzle you? See, we've got it where it was passed on down from the regular King's English. You want to get in some King's English, go to Jamaica. But they speak perfect King's English. Go to, Brazil when they speak in English, but especially in the Philippines. Get a lot of them. They speak good King English, good language. They don't use there and where and over here and over there and where you at, you know. See, we say, well, I've talked to people and they say, I've got a 1611 King James Version. Show it to me. That's Scofield, 1909 was the first one. 1611 was your King James Version. You had them up until I was allowed to get them, and I lost one of them. But World used to put out a King James Version, which left out all of the Book of Maccabees, all of the things. Mine's about this thick, because it's got all those books in it that was left out of the Bible. Now, you know how the King James Version came into being? Yeah, I'm trying to show you this to get you to think about something. The King James Version, see, is a translation of translations. How many of you know that? Have you ever studied it? They took 40-something people. King James did. He took 40-something people and put them in groups. In that group, he would give them a scripture. And they would take that scripture. And when they came back to the core of the group, all of those say he sent out five groups, you know. Each one of them had to compare exactly when they came back together, or it was not put in the King James Version. King James Version is not a translation of actually, you ain't going to like this one, but that's all right. Good News for Modern Man has a base core more real than King James. Because you know what the base core of the Good News for Modern Man? A literal translation. You understand what I'm getting at? See, we think we know all about these things, and then somebody comes along and says something about it. Well, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. Well, where have you been? I knew that before I heard of the prophet. The King James Version was, they took those manuscripts and the things and some of the versions that they had and things, and they put them in there to them and gave them that and said, come out of there with the right understanding. And if you think that ain't a way of God leading, so you got 10 different groups sitting over there studying the same one scripture, and here they come back and lay it down, and all of them is exactly the same. Maybe not wording literally, but context. That's why I love it. I love the King James Version because of the fact that I know where it come from and how it got into our hands to where we can understand. And it doesn't mean that you've got to go back and find this Lord and all of these things. That's not the understanding. The understanding is, what is the Bible trying to bring? I hope you get the point of what your prophet said. He said, now Elohim. He said, that's capital, Elohim. Capital letters, he said. Showing you that it's emphasizing the point of what you're talking about. See? That you can actually look at this. If you was looking there a minute ago, you've seen it. You had God spelled in the same verse with a big G-O-D and a little G-O-D. You see, when I come out here and say, the Lord spoke to me, you know what I can be saying? That I just read it. Okay? Or I can say, the Lord just spoke to me. Holding up Brother Branham's, these are not it, but holding it up representing, I have one in here, one quote. You understand what I'm getting at? Then you got Elohim. Carry that all the way through. Carry it all the way through your understanding. Don't lose that, because that's the self-existing one. But when he came down and created a world, he was still self-existing. when he created all of, now listen, when he created all of Genesis 1, he was still Elohim. Then all at once he creates something that was a part of himself. He's no longer self-existing. That's what I love. No longer does he exist alone. He'll never exist alone again. Why? Because Jehovah, the title that was brought out, signifies that he becomes like a father with his family. He brought man into being. Right? Brought man into existence. And then you can use Lord God. And I've got a lot of here to where it'll say, Lord, our God, the Lord, backwards and forth. But if you'll just remember what it's talking about. It doesn't say that God spoke to Cain. It says the Lord spoke to Cain. You say, no, it's signifying, see, that God himself spoke personally to Cain and offered him salvation. But he turned it down. He offered him everything that was offered to Abel. And I don't think that because he was serpent seed. What are you? Don't call me. I had that years ago thrown in my face. Don't call me serpent seed, big boy. You know what? Big boy wasn't referring to him being serpent seed. He was referring to me. I was referring to myself. Because what are these old bodies that we live in? It's surely not a seed of God. I hope you got a little better sense than that. I can quote Brother Branham and see. He said, you're born between what? Satan and Eve. I don't care what you think about yourself. Like I've always said. You know, they say, well, my family came over on the Mayflower. Oh, you know, we're a royal seed. We came to America. So did a bunch of crooks that were stowaway in the bottom of the thing to escape the place over there and come over here. But you see, we think we're something. You understand what I'm talking about? God had to come to earth. He could come and create and bring all of that into existence, but he had to come himself personal. That's where your Jehovah is picked up. He becomes personal on earth right there to bring his family into existence. Then you got the word Jehovah. Like a father with his family. But that's still not his name. You see, that don't mean nothing to me because big letters and little small letters, this letter, that letter, that don't make no difference to me. All right? No. Get ready to quit. How about going over to number 7 and let's just read something? Because remember, Jehovah's not a name. Elohim's not a name. Yahweh is not a name. All of those great titles you hear the preachers preaching about today, Adonai and all the different, they've got all kind of different things. And every one of them is trying to do it with this. Mm-mm. But look. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It didn't italicize that. It didn't bold it. Right? It didn't raise it up because it's telling you what happened. Okay? But it is, Mother Mary was a spouse of Joseph before they came together. She was found a child with the Holy Ghost. Okay? And she shall bring forth a son. Okay? Over to 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Bold letters. In other words, get away from up here, this record that mankind is making. Now we got it straight. Jesus was born from the Virgin Mary as Almighty God. Come on. Shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. And knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Bold letters. Drop down one verse. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you're back to small letters. He said, what are you doing? I'm trying to tell you the name of Jesus. But let me tell it to you from Brother Branham. That's where it ought to all come from anyway, right? What did Brother Branham say about the name of Jesus? He said, there's many Jesuses. There's Jesus, Jesus, and this and your Spanish got into Jesus. You got all kind of Jesus. But there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one name of God, that's Jesus. So they bold it and made it up to where it would appear. Check your Bible and see if it doesn't. Okay? But then when they're just talking about him and who he is, it's coming back. But now his name is Jesus. You remember the story? Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost. Mary leaves, and she goes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is pulled back up in the country there because she's really embarrassed. Because she's 6 months pregnant with a dead baby. All right? John had not moved. 6 months, John had not moved. Right? But when they met, Mary said, Elizabeth, I hear you're pregnant. I said, yeah, I'm pregnant, but I'm kind of a little worried about it. I'm just paraphrasing the scripture. You read it. I'm kind of worried because the baby hasn't moved. Mary said, well, Elizabeth, I'm pregnant too. Oh, Elizabeth says what? Oh, you and Joseph, you've got married. She said, no. I conceived a child of the Holy Ghost. And said, his name is Jesus. And said, as quick as that name was spoken by human lips. Now remember what's said. By human lips. Did John receive the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb? Find me that in the Bible. He said, show me where that Mary goes up to Elizabeth. The name of Jesus had done been pronounced twice. But there's a key there. The prophet knew what he's talking about. When the angel appeared to Mary, he said, call his name Jesus. Right? Do you need that? Do we need to pull it up? Call his name Jesus. John didn't receive the Holy Ghost at that because that was an angel. Mary goes up and tells her salutation, but she doesn't call the name of Jesus when she first starts her discussion with Elizabeth. Her discussion is what has happened to her. That she has conceived a child. Read it. Go in your Bible. See, when Elizabeth, when Mary spoke the name of Jesus, was the first time a human being used that name. The other time it was angels and things. Angels are not children of God. But when Mary said to Elizabeth, but it's not even written that way. But it's there, it's the salutation. That when Mary says to Elizabeth, the angel met me, and I've conceived of the Holy Ghost, and said his name is Jesus. Find me that in the Bible that says his name is Jesus from Mary. You see, we're taking what a prophet says, thank God. He said the first time a human being spoke it, not the first time an angel or anything else spoke it. The name Jesus had been used daily in all kind of things because it was Jesus was a common name. But when Mary gave her salutation, what was her salutation? Elizabeth, I'm pregnant too. Elizabeth says, you and Joseph? No, me and Joseph ain't married. Mary! He said, well, listen. He said, I met an angel. And said, I conceived of the Holy Ghost. Not an angel. Angel couldn't bring that seed to Mary. He could bring the letter form to bring it, but not the seed. But the Holy Ghost is. As quick as she said that, John leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. See, we don't like that. We want to make it John was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's good. Because that's what happened. We remember Elizabeth. How many did we find last night? Four. Let's see, when Simeon was speaking, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You got about four times of different ones that was filled with the Holy Ghost. But this was a salutation. What? I conceived a child of the Holy Ghost to fulfill the scripture that I shall call his name Emmanuel. They didn't call him Emmanuel. Listen, they did, but they didn't. Is that sensible? It was told in Isaiah to call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. The angel referring to that, but he says, you'll call his name Jesus. See, Jesus is the only name God ever had. Jesus is the only name God ever had. Show me another name. All of them are titles. Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tiskin, all of that. Yahweh's, all that you go through, all of those great things that these people out here in the world preach on a lot. I'm not against that. I'm just telling you that's what they do. Has the Holy Ghost come to you to tell you why his name is called Jesus? Come on. The only name God ever had is Jesus. He ain't got no titles. The titles are there because they're in references coming through. But his name is Jesus. His name is a fulfillment of every prophecy, ever thought, ever saying, ever Yahweh's, ever Jehovah's, ever Elohim's, All of those things is fulfilled in the name of Jesus. No, see, you're not even reading your Bible. I come in my Father's name. Well, what was the Father's name? Oh, Jehovah. No, the title. Come on. What was the name of the Father? Jesus. Because Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Oh, well, that just makes us Jesus only. No, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just one. There's just one Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, ask anything in my name. Because his name is Jesus. I'm only giving you half the story. The rest will be finished next Sunday, Lord willing. So just think about these things. But think about it as you're reading your Bible. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. He says, the Lord spoke to Cain. I use that because we don't want a reference with Cain, but the Bible said it. You know, what do you mean? The great, eternal, Jehovah, self-existing Elohim condescended to sit down and have a discussion with Cain and said, you'd have been received had you done like your brother. I'm quoting Bible. You say, well, what was that name? The Lord said unto my Lord. Like I didn't finish that a while ago, so I'm glad to come back to that point. Okay, in the old English, that's what you had. You had a Lord, which is a guy over the properties. He was Lord. You know, I mean, you could talk about your neighbor. He says, my Lord. My Lord, how you been doing today? See, because it had that reference as to what it was. It was just, but it referenced like something with a family. And he say, the Lord said unto my Lord, let me tell you this the way, okay? Maybe you'll either get mad enough to think about it or do something. Brother Branham, I'm asking you a question. What is the new birth? You remember that from Christ the Mystery of God Revealed? What is the new birth? Brother Branham, what is the new birth? He says, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the person of Jesus Christ, being revealed to you. His name. You see, listen, church, I'm not throwing off on nothing out there. I'm just trying to tell you how that God has helped us. But you go right over there and they'll tell you about the name of Jesus. I've heard preachers preach about the name of Jesus and just bring tears to your eyes. But to know and realize they know nothing about him. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my all in all. Every reference in the Bible is referencing to Jesus Christ. In my name, he said, you'll cast out devils. The Holy Ghost, which will come in my name. That's why Brother Brown says water baptism is a very important thing. He said, because you do not have a promise of the Holy Ghost under Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism. You need that? You don't have a promise of the Holy Ghost. You only have a promise of the Holy Ghost when you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this little point, this took me 6 months of lifetime, but I just leave it to you to think about it. Yeah, I can say to Brother Branham, I can say, Lord, what did you mean when you said the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because I'm speaking to him as a senior point or movement or knowing I can get my answer. We're going to get into that where it comes into bold letters. We're going to get into something where a man stood before a burning bush. And he said, and you hear me say it over and over, so when I get started, you'll know it, say it. God said, Moses, go to Egypt. He said, I am not going. I can't talk good. I can't do nothing. And God says, I'll take care of that. Aaron will be your prophet. You just be a God to him. He said, well, okay, but still I'm not. What am I going to tell them? Tell them the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I know a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know all about the historical gods and all of the thing. But said, what's your name? Said, by what name shall I tell Pharaoh that I do these things? You remember what he said to him at the burning bush? And check it out and see if it's bold letters. You'll know we're going to get to something. Just go there and check it out. He said, I am that I am. Right? Not making it to fit, because I don't like to change scriptures to make it, but to a lot of people that sounds odd, it comes out odd to me. But when he went down to Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, then let my people go. He said, who's going to take them out of here? He said, I am. See, now you can bring that up and show that God was there, but I'd rather bring it this way. Moses knew who he was. Amen. By that time, he understood who he was. And by that time, he knew if they was coming out of there, he was going to take them. Right. So he said, I am. Right. I'm going to take them out. Now you can take it and say, both of them is right. To say, I am, and him referring to his personal is correct. But to say, I am, and him referring to the God that was leading him to bring him out, it's the same thing. I am that I am. Now, one more word. What was this? Elohim, self-existing. When he appeared there to Moses, he appeared to him as ever-present for eternity. Because that's what I am means. Those things are in the Bible for a purpose, church. Don't just play with your Bible and say, well, I don't understand this or why. Read it. And when you're reading it, look at who's talking and what's talking. And look there and you'll see the Lord is speaking to people. The Lord himself. He's talking to us. He talked to us through the prophet. Amen. To bring us the message. He can speak through mama and daddy to speak to you about the message. Amen. And just remember, we're still just talking about Jesus. Yes. Well, Brother Dale, I want to know his new name. I haven't wore out Jesus yet. That's just honest now, not derogatory or hateful. Just honest. I ain't wore out Jesus yet. When I wear out Jesus, I'll be looking for a new name. But while I'm waiting, I can say what the prophet said. He said, maybe it'll be made known when we get there. I didn't say that. He's the one that said it. See, let's talk about Jesus. Come on, musicians. Come on, Brother Joe, can you sing that? Let's talk about Jesus. Let's think about him. We're having our regular services today. So we're going to go eat and come back and start at 2 o'clock. Everything right on time, all just like we've been at it. So let's just sing a verse of this and then we'll go, okay? Let's stand together.
The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords Supreme, throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the great I Am, the door. Let's talk about
Sit down and read your Bible
Jesus
and think about God speaking to you. Self-existing Jehovah into reality, and one day He stepped on earth in a body called Jesus. And I shall call His name Jesus. The only name the prophet said God ever had is Jesus. Because that's a name. But you know what I like? There was a brother come through preaching one time for Brother Theo Erasmus from Cape Town, South Africa. And he was preaching about the name of God. And he made a good point. It was odd, but a good point. He said, you got J-E-S-U-S. He said, now, if you take U-S off of that, said His name is Jess. Right? J-E-S. But said, put us right back on there, and there's His name. Because it takes us to make the name Jesus. And we should get that point. It takes you and I and our part of the body of Christ to make the name of Jesus. Anybody have a need? Remember, 2 o'clock service. Pray one for another. You're dismissed. Father, we thank You for this day and Your love unto us, and we pray that You would just be with us and guide us, Lord, and keep us. Let Your love go with each one. May we see Your word unveiled in our hearts and lives. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus is Your name. Remember how you're supposed to be dismissed?
The great